Bibles, would you turn with me to Micah chapter 7 in the Old Testament? Micah chapter 7. And I want to kind of minister on this sign here tonight that is hanging, this banner that you can't miss. You look past me and you see this banner, praise God. And it's out of Deuteronomy 4 in verse 7 that says, who has a God like our God? Amen. And that's not just about his power and his majesty and his strength. This is all about his grace and his mercy. If you want to read something in the Bible while you're turning to Micah 7, because once you get into this mercy and grace of God, it shows up all over the Bible. It's suddenly the Bible becomes a pop-up book. It's kind of like Jesus. Some places in South Africa, they call the Bible the Jesus book, where they've had good, accurate Bible teaching. Because they said, open it up just about anywhere, and you will find Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll find him in type and foreshadow in the Old Testament. You'll find him in the fullness of all of those prophecies in the New Covenant. But make no mistake about it, the first blood that was shed was God slaying an animal to get the skin of that animal to cover a man's nakedness who sinned and was ashamed to stand before God. And it started what Bible scholars call the scarlet thread, Brother Taylor. Amen. A salvation through a blood sacrifice that runs from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You won't find salvation without the shedding of a blood sacrifice. Because without the shedding of Christ's blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen. But thank God he came and shed his blood. Some people say his blood was not enough. He had to do other things. That's not what the scripture teaches. That's not what the Bible throughout from the Genesis to Revelation teaches. Amen. Let me say to you tonight that the throne that we approach always before we receive anything from God, from salvation to healing to deliverance, and God has been so gracious and merciful to me, that throne is a grace throne where we obtain grace and mercy to help us in the time of our need. Amen. What precedes every answer from God is grace and mercy. You can't come to him any other way. There's no one in this room worthy, and no one in this world worthy. And somebody always thinks they know someone who is, because they were so pure, so wonderful, so holy. And there are some wonderful, pure, holy people down here. But when you compare them to the demands of a holy God, they can't approach his holy presence. Can you say amen? The only access to him is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why the linen veil stood in the temple until Jesus said, it's accomplished. And what he accomplished on the cross when he drew his last breath caused God to rend that veil from the top to the bottom. And he said, everyone that trusts Christ as their Savior from this point forward is going to be able to come behind that veil. Going to be able to come before a throne that is literally the mercy seat is what that was talking about in the Old Testament. He said it's called the throne of grace. And it's where you obtain grace and mercy before any other response from God comes, is the grace and mercy that allows you to approach him and to petition him for the needs of your life. I'm so privileged, amen, to have a God that has invited me into his presence. Amen. And Jesus said, because this is going to be a shock to the whole Jewish system when that veil was rent, and now you could come to God personally. And he told his disciples, he prepared them for this blessing beyond anything they could imagine that was about to happen after he finished his accomplished work on the cross. And he literally told them, heretofore, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive so that your joy might be full. And he said, heretofore you've asked the Father nothing. In other words, you haven't come directly to the Father. Jesus was really taking care of everything. But a time was coming shortly when he would be taken up and sit down at the right hand of God. But he said, listen, that same God that hears my prayer will hear your prayer. As long as it's in his will and you put your trust in him, he will listen when you call out to him. He's going to provide a way for you to come into his presence. And he said, heretofore, you've asked him nothing in my name. He said, ask him that you might receive so your joy could be full. He said, I do not say that I shall pray for you, for the Father himself loveth you. He accepts you. I love Ephesians chapter 1 because it said that he has accepted us in the Beloved. That meant in Christ, God accepts us as if we had never sinned. And the fact is, we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. And the fact is, we're not worthy to come into that kind of presence. But the fact is, what Jesus did on the cross gave us access to the Holy One himself. And the Bible said, come and talk to the Father. Come and pray to him. Whatever you ask him in my name. And by the way, when you ask in his name, it's not just his authority, but it's praying like Jesus would pray. And Jesus always deferred to the will of God in his prayer life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He always said, not what I will, but what you will be done. And that's the greatest way to discover the will of God in your life. Listen to Micah chapter 7. Who has a God like our God? A God of grace and mercy. A God so abundantly willing to pardon those that come to him. Listen to what it says. It says, who has a God like unto thee? And here's why, that they're giving him this place of such greatness. Amen. That pardoneth iniquity. See, it doesn't start out with his power to create the universe and create the world, which he has. The theological term for that is that he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you know, if it's simple for me to believe because I've come to know this God that created heaven and earth. The Bible said of him, ah, Lord God, in the book of Jeremiah, thou hast stretched out the heavens with thine outstretched arm. You did all of this just by stretching your arm out. No big deal, no sweat. Amen. The Genesis account is true. God said, let there be a firmament. And there was a firmament. That's why I believe in the Big Bang Theory. You know why I believe in the Big Bang Theory? God said, let it be, and bang, there it was. Amen. And maybe there's something to that Big Bang thing, because I believe when God created like that, there must have been a Big Bang. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. But God was behind the Big Bang, if there is such a thing. But they're not talking about the fact. You know, the Bible said if you want to know if there's a God, go out and look at the heavens tonight. Get out of the traffic. Get out of the trees. Go somewhere where you can get a clear view of a clear sky. And look up and realize that this didn't just happen. This is the result of a creator. Can you say amen? And the heavens declare something about him. They declare his handiwork. By the way, he wants us to declare something about him too. The Bible said if that's his handiwork, then we are what? His workmanship. I know you wouldn't believe it to look at a lot of church people. And I'm not talking about the church lady on television. Can you say amen? But there's a lot of church people that don't look like what God is capable of doing because we haven't fully surrendered to let him do his great work within us. But the Bible said we are his workmanship. And that means what? It means the work of one's own hands. This is not a special order pulpit here. Amen. I love it. It's a cross, and it's kind of a rugged cross. It's not varnished and shiny. Amen. It's more representative of what the cross should be. And I think, Doug, did you fashion that with your that's your handiwork. Okay, so for better or for worse, Doug did it. Can you say amen? This is the work of his hands, and I appreciate it. And I think it's a wonderful representation of what we preach and teach here. Because we preach Jesus and him crucified. And we will until he comes, praise God. Amen. And I've been praying, Lord, hide me behind the cross. But after Thanksgiving, I don't think there's any possible way. Amen. We'll have to enlarge this for that to happen. But you know what I'm talking about tonight. Listen carefully to this. God is great. And his name is lifted on high because of the mercy and love that he has shown a fallen world and fallen man. He is the creator. He has that kind of power. He's omnipotent, all powerful. And that's why the Bible said, oh, Lord God, thou hast stretched out the heavens thou hast made the heavens by your outstretched hand, and there's nothing too hard for thee. I don't have any problem about Jonah and the whale. People used to ask me, and they're still asking the question, how can a man be in the belly of a fish and survive all of that and come out after the third day? Do you really believe that story about Jonah? Amen. I love the little boy's answer because he in his school he had to write some things, and he wrote about Jonah and the whale and Jonah's deliverance, and the teacher asked him, says, you don't really believe that a fish swallowed a man and after 3 days spit him out? Do you really believe that? Because she didn't believe it. She was either atheist or agnostic. Atheists don't believe there is a God, and agnostic believes there might be something, but no one can prove anything, so it's all up in the air. And she didn't believe in a God who could work miracles like that. And she said, what if it isn't true? What if you get to heaven and you find out it isn't true? And he said, there's no doubt that it's true. The Bible declares it. It is true. She said, well, what if you get to heaven and you find out it isn't true? And I've even forgot where this was going. Amen. Anyway, he's supposed to ask Jonah, but when he gets there, she says, what if it isn't true? I don't know where it's going. I haven't had this happen in about 10 years. Hey, you're here for a night. We're making history tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. I had that thought. It was a good one. It would fit this very well tonight. Point being made was, it'll come back to me after a while. I might have to hold you a little past. I'm trying to beat Brother Taylor's. I know what it is. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. I'm trying to keep up with Brother Taylor and get you out of here on time tonight. And I'm watching that clock. And when I look at that clock, I lose everything. Because I see that second hand going round and round. And normally I get oblivious to the clock and I just concentrate on the Lord. But when it comes back to me, we'll finish that. If it don't, God don't want you to hear it tonight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't have a problem with Jonah and the whale. I don't have a problem with God parting the Red Sea. There's a lot of people. If you want to get really messed up when your concept of God, just go to the History Channel and see how they portray God. They're going to get somebody with this big background in so-called theology and study of the Bible. And none of those fellas believe in miracles. Most of them don't believe in the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus. So there's no hope if you die that you'll ever come out of the ground. Because if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Amen. Our faith is in vain. And the people that are in the grave can't get up out of the grave. Amen. But if God raised him from the dead, amen, then he becomes the first fruits of them that slept. You know what that means? That means the first human being, the first man that was flesh and blood that he took upon himself to ever be dead and buried, amen, and be raised from the dead, never to die again. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he died. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, but she eventually died. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he will never die. Amen. On the book of Revelation, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And the good news is, when he comes, we will know him as he is, for we shall be like him, and our vile bodies shall be fashioned after his glorious body. Amen. And corruption shall put on incorruption, and mortal shall put on immortality. That's how great and mighty our God is. But the reason for all of that power that God's going to demonstrate in raising us from the dead and creating the earth and all that he's done in his might, the reason behind that is his mercy and his love for you and me. It's top shelf with God. Follow after faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Can you say amen? God put it on the top shelf. And he said, Paul said, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, it doesn't profit me anything. If I have all revelations to understand all the mysteries and have not love, it doesn't profit me. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, if I have faith to move mountains and I don't have love, it doesn't profit me. Amen? So if faith isn't top shelf, love is top shelf with God. And that's why they put him in such a place and said, who has a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Everybody say that pardons iniquity. There's a difference between iniquity. He was wounded for our transgressions in Isaiah 53, but he was bruised. And I got to slow down, even if we don't finish, which we won't. But listen, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Transgression is the act of sinning. It's what we did that broke his royal law. Iniquity is what caused us to sin. It's that's on the inside. Can you say amen? God is not just forgiving the sin. He's forgiving the sinner. Did you hear me? Amen. There's a difference in just forgiving the sin, but always looking at you as sinful. He's forgiving the sin and forgiving the sinner. And he's treating you differently than justice would normally treat us. He pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Of the remnant of his heritage, he retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. Everybody say, he delights in mercy. Isn't that good news tonight? Nobody would go to heaven if God wasn't a merciful God. There would be no such thing as by grace you're saved if God isn't a merciful God. I couldn't stand here tonight, amen, and give you any hope of heaven if God wasn't a merciful God. The Bible said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so glad for the mercies of the Lord tonight. Amen. Everywhere I look, it keeps turning up over and over again. Lamentations is the book of the blues, because God's people are going into captivity because they rejected his word. And it looks like all hope is lost, but it isn't lost. Amen. Because the Bible said that Jeremiah said, I look at all of this, my soul is crushed within me, but this I recall to mind, Brother Taylor. Great is your faithfulness to do what? Your mercies are new every morning. That is what gives us hope. No matter what the circumstance or what the situation or how far we've drifted, there's hope. There's hope for your lost loved ones because of God's mercy tonight. Can you say amen? My son was alcoholic for 28 years. Amen. And you know, after 28 years, it's one of the most, the hardest prayers that Satan defied, because it always bothered me to teach about prayer and faith and to see my son bound all of those years. Amen. But even though that was going on, I still declare what I believe to be true. And God is a merciful God. And he showed my son mercy, praise God. Because after 28 years, suddenly, amen. Some circumstances happened, but suddenly God set him free. Literally, God set him free. Because I have had him in the hospital with delirium tremors, and I've had him in the hospital trying to come off of that, and he's been through detox and went back and retoxed, amen, because it was a spiritual bondage, not just a chemical problem, and it was a spiritual thing, and he seemed like he was in a prison he couldn't get out of, and we would have long discussions, but he would never ever make a commitment and act on his faith. And it looked like the devil was going to win this thing. But after 28 years, twice committed for alcohol poisoning, almost dying twice because of overindulgence on alcohol and drugs at the same time. I'm not talking about the hardcore stuff, but I'm talking about prescription drugs and alcohol. And to see him set free with no medication and no DTs, no delirium tremors. To see this God with this kind of anointing in his mercy and his grace to do something that powerful. See, don't just talk about the power tonight. Talk about the mercy that causes this God to use all of that power in our behalf, even when we don't deserve it. Everybody say mercy and grace. Let's go through this. I want you to get this straight. Grace means you do get what you don't deserve. Can you say amen? How many know you don't deserve forgiveness? But grace gives it to you. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest what? Anybody can boast. There won't be anyone in heaven boasting about that they should be there because of what they did down here. That's not what's going to get you there. Amen. You're created unto good works, and good works mark you as an authentic believer. But good works don't get you through the gate into the holy city. Amen. What gets you there is the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm going by the grace of God. How about you? Can you say, man, the blood of Jesus has made that provision for me. So in grace, you do get what you don't deserve. But in mercy, and that's why I believe mercy comes first before grace can flow. Amen. In mercy, you don't get what you do deserve. How many know we deserve justice? We deserve to be judged. But instead, we're given grace. And that's why mercy and grace are so vitally important to our faith. Too many people are trying to come on their own merits to a God that can only be approached by grace and by His tender mercies. Let me read the rest of this to you. This is exciting to me. He delights in mercy. I like another translation, I think. It says, who is a God like you who pardons sin, forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. I remember preaching. I had to watch a clock like this, and I had to watch it more closely than this one because we stretched this one a little bit here and there. But I remember preaching a television message, and it was, you know, churches around the area. I think it was Channel 13 years ago, because we've been ministering for 37 years in this city. And I remember we went in to make the television broadcast, and my part of it, after the 30-minute local church service was televised, was to make 5 morning devotionals where I had 5 minutes. About the break of day when they came on the air, I would come on and have a morning devotional. And so I remember trying to work within those, and they did it one right after the other. 5 minutes, boom, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. And they did it, all 5 of them, all together. I would finish. They would let me catch my breath, take a sip of water, count me down from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, and then go again. And then I'd get my little sip of water, go again. Get a sip of water and go again. It's a real uncomfortable way to minister. Amen. But I found a subject that I felt so, back then, it was just, I was so passionate about. And I wanted to get it across in those 5 broadcasts. Amen. For the Bible said in the New Testament, quoting from the Old Testament, amen, he that boasts, let him boast in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God, that I am the Lord that executes judgment and righteousness and mercy in all of the earth, for in these things I delight. Can you say amen? Mercy's right in there. Amen. Praise God. God is a merciful God. And no one would be here tonight without Him. He's so merciful. He's so merciful. I remember going through nervous exhaustion some years back, and my wife went through it with me. It started with her, and the pressures of ministry caved in on us. We didn't know how to commit that to God. No one taught us. We had no one to mentor us. I remember whining after that, and I was whining. I got whiny with the Lord. I'm sure none of you have ever whined to heaven, but I got whiny with the Lord, and I remember saying, Lord, I don't have a Paul to encourage me like Timothy had. If I could just get a letter from someone of the stature of Timothy had Paul when he was discouraged. I don't. The letters I get want something from me. They don't come to lift me up. Can you say amen? You know what I'm talking about. If you ever get on a mailing list, Lord help you. Amen. But there's always, amen. It's not, how can I help you? It's what can you do for me? What have you done for me lately? Can you say amen? Well, I needed help. Where's my Paul? I remember when the Lord spoke to me about that. Amen. He said, you mean you haven't got any letters from Paul? I said, of course not. Timothy had Paul. to encourage him. What about me? And the Lord just simply said, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Ephesians, Hebrews, 1 and 2 Timothy. You know what that is? Letters from Paul. God just won't let you whine for very long. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's your Paul. Read it again. It's for you. It's to you. It's from me. Amen. Through him, but it's to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And every time I pick it up and I read it, I see his mercy. I see his grace. I feel his love. I know that he's a man of his word. I know that when I am weak, he's concerned about me. He doesn't back off. He never tells me, if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. He tells me stuff like this. When you go through the fire, it will not kindle on thee, for I am with thee. When you go through the waters, they shall not overflow thee, for I am with thee. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. I'm a merciful God, and I delight in mercy. Can you say amen? When you can't pick yourself up, I'll pick you up. Hallelujah. You don't have to be strong to get his help. We finished. This was the final part of a series out of Psalm 3. Amen. Psalm 3. David is absolutely devastated. So many of the Psalms were written during the period in David's life, in particular when his own son, Absalom, wants to kill him. This is not a Philistine giant anymore. This is his own son. His son wants to kill his daddy and take his kingdom. And his son has raised an army, and guess who they are? They're not some alien army, but from the Hittites. You know who they are? David's own countrymen. Amen. That have turned against him and is now following David's son in rebellion. Make no mistake about it, Absalom wanted to kill his daddy and take his kingdom. And David, from the military threat of facing an enemy that had turned out to be such a threat militarily, he's on the run. There were many of these psalms written while David was in hiding, so his son couldn't just come and kill him. He was running from his son just like he had to run from Saul. Now God triumphed and David reigned as king, and his own son got his hair caught in a tree branch and it yanked him and broke his neck. And the enemy was defeated. But David began to talk about God as a shield for him. His glory. And listen to this, the lifter of his head in Psalm 3. David never had a problem with the enemy without, under the anointing, did he? Remember how easily, what short work he made of a Philistine giant that defied the armies of Israel? He said, you come at me with sword and spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Amen. You know the rest of the story. The giant fell. David cut his head off with his own sword. And they begin to herald the mighty anointing on David to be a champion for Israel. But when your own son's trying to kill you, when the army that's following your son and wants to take your kingdom is your own countrymen, you have an enemy within called discouragement, brokenheartedness. Can you say amen? And it's that enemy that was the strongest enemy and the greatest giant that David ever sought. He said things to God like, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a refuge for me and a hiding place from my enemies. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said things like, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. He said, God has delivered me, amen, from the horrible pit. Praise God. That's not the circumstance. That's what the circumstance had done within David. Can you say amen? It put him in that place of depression and discouragement. Amen. He said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me from his holy hill. You know why I like that so much? Because he didn't cry unto the Lord from a standpoint of standing on a peak and flexing his faith muscles. Can you say amen? He cried unto the Lord out of that place of brokenness and despair. And guess what? Because God is a merciful God, God heard him from his holy hill. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad I don't have to have great faith when I'm so weak. I've got a great God who's faithful to show mercy. And he said, I cried unto the Lord. Listen. Even when he was so afraid, he said, I cried unto the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. I laid me down and slept. And guess what? They didn't catch me and they didn't kill me. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the Lord heard me and the Lord protected me. The Lord has been a shield for me. My glory. He said, I won't take the glory for these victories. He's my glory. And he is what? The lifter of my head. You know what the Bible tells us? To look around at each other. And if we see somebody really discouraged, to lift up the hands that hang down. And strengthen the feeble knee, lest they be turned out of the way. Can you say, man, discouragement can cause people to give in. Discouragement can cause people to give up. Discouragement can cause us to quit praying and believing and trusting God. Mercy is God's antidote. We need to ponder and consider the mercy of the Lord. I'm so glad I don't have to be strong to get him to listen. I'm glad when I am weak. My dad plays that old Christian hymn, I am weak, but he is strong. You say, Brother Bimble, don't confess it. Honey, not confessing it ain't going to change it. Amen. You're not Superman. I'm not Superman. Anybody remember the Thriller in Manila? I don't have no old school here. You remember the Thriller in Manila. Amen. Muhammad Ali was flying to the Philippines, in Manila, Philippines. You remember the thrill in Manila? It's all coming back to you. Amen. It's been a long time ago. I'm old school here tonight. I remember the thrill in Manila. Amen. Is it Frazier he fought down in the Philippines for the championship? Was it Joe Frazier or? Joe Frazier. Okay, the thriller in Manila. Amen. Because I think he called Joe Frazier a gorilla. I'm not sure. He was always saying things like that to hype the fight. It was. That was his nature. Well, he got on a plane going to the Philippines. And a little Filipino, 90-pound little Filipino stewardess walking down the aisle because the light had come on to buckle up. They're getting ready to take off. And, you know, he's sitting there, you know, all sprawled out and not got his seatbelt on. This is supposed to have really happened. And this little stewardess is walking down the aisle, and she recognized him, and she said, buckle up, champ. You know what he said? He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. You know what she said? Superman don't need no airplane either. And the champ buckled up. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, there are no spiritual supermen. What made David great? He said, thy loving kindness has made me great. And Paul said, by the grace of God, I am whatever I have become in him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's God's mercy that lifts us up is the only reason we can stand. And if he pulled that mercy and grace away, we'd all fall flat on our face and be hopeless. But thank God his mercies are new every morning. That's why weeping lasts but for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Woo! Don't amen like that. You know what that does to me. Amen. It makes me want to preach. Hallelujah. Just be quiet and stare me down. Maybe I'll quit in a few minutes. No, bring it on. This is good stuff. This deserves an amen. This deserves a wow. Say it with me. Wow. Say it backwards. Boy, you're good tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Who has a God like this God? Not just so mighty and wonderful and powerful, but so gracious and merciful, who delights in mercy. Hallelujah. Bible talks about the good shepherd and the mercy of our good shepherd in Jesus Christ. And it says he leaves the 99 that are safe, that have come into the sheepfold, and they're safe from the predators, and he's counting them. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And one thing he did with the rod was he touched each sheep, and he counted them as they came in at night. And the shepherd would touch in that ancient land each sheep and count them. And he's got 100 sheep, but he's got a count of 99. And he knows there's one missing. And you know the reason it's missing? It's missing because it didn't follow the shepherd close enough. It wandered off from the flock. It got into trouble. How many know when we don't follow the shepherd close, we get into trouble? Amen. It's the sheep's fault that the sheep is in trouble. The shepherd doesn't owe the sheep what he's about to give it. But he's a merciful shepherd. He leaves the 99 and he goes out and looks for it. How long, Brother Venable? How long does he spend till he finds it? Can you say amen? Whatever it takes. It took 28 years for him to find Alan. Amen. But he found him out there. Glory be to God. And it's time Alan responded to that kind of love. Keep praying for him. Amen. But listen to this. Amen. He searches till he finds it. Amen. And the reason, the majority of the reasons for a missing sheep was they became a cast sheep. You know what a cast sheep is? That's when a sheep full of wool falls over. For some reason stumbles and falls over. You know what happens when they fall over? The heaviness of their wool. This is true of sheep today. They can't right themselves. They're like a turtle on his back. And the pressure of the weight of the wool in their body is now pressing on their organs, and they're filled with anxiety because they keep trying to get up and can't. They can't right themselves. They just can't get up on their own. Can you say amen? God has designed. Let me tell you something about God. He's designed that you can't get yourself out of these things. Because he wants you to depend on him. And he wants you to discover, amen, how merciful and gracious and good he is. He wants you to love him for showing you that kind of mercy. Amen. And devote yourself to him because he deserves that. Not just because he commands it or demands it, but because he first loved you. Can you say amen? If you're saved tonight, you're saved because he came searching for you. The Bible said you didn't love him. You didn't initiate this thing. You didn't get up one morning and say, I want to love God and get right with him. No, you didn't. He loved you. Can you say amen? And he commended his love for us. This is mercy all over the place. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can't be saved unless you accept him. But he has paid the price for your salvation. If you miss heaven, it won't be because God wasn't merciful and gave you the opportunity. Amen. Shepherd finds a sheep in that condition. It can't ride itself. So he has to put it on its feet. If there's a Christian standing today, it's because God, more than once, has come and picked it up. Amen. Can you say amen? He designed faith to stay in dependence on him. And if the sheep is too weak, has been in that condition, if he's left, he will die. Shepherd don't come for him, he's a goner. He can't ever ride himself. And if he did ride himself, he couldn't find his way back. But the shepherd comes for him. I call the Holy Spirit, in deep respect, the hound of heaven. Can you say amen? He hounded me. Oh, thank God for conviction. Thank God he didn't let me alone. Thank God he kept on coming. Can you say, man, no matter where I was, amen, when it got quiet and I got out from under the influence of sin and other things, I could feel that pull. Thank God he didn't give up on this preacher. Thank God he didn't give up on my wife. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the mighty workings of a merciful God when he made me uncomfortable. So, hallelujah. If you're in church and you get uncomfortable because God is calling you, amen, don't find another church. where you can be comfortable lost without God, comfortable without knowing Jesus Christ, comfortable on your way to hell. Can you say amen? Get in a church where you get very uncomfortable because God's love is flowing there. That's not God trying to hurt you. That's God trying to save you. Can you say amen? Amen. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. And His mercies are new every morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, this God of grace is so wonderful. Listen, if that sheep can't walk, and every picture I've seen of Jesus, He's carrying a lamb. But shepherds didn't just carry little lambs. They carried full-grown sheep that were too weak to walk. And so he would get under this sheep, lifting up. Now he's got a full-grown sheep over his shoulder. And he's coming back, however far it takes, he's bringing that sheep back to the fold. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I leave the 99 that are secure in the fold. And if there's one missing, just one is all it takes for that mercy to flow out. He said, I go after it, and I search until what? Till I find it. Can you say, man, that's why you're saved tonight. That's why I'm saved tonight, because He came searching for me and I responded to His call to salvation. Praise God for the mercy of God tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. The ancient Israel's trouble, like ours, were a result of rebellion and sin. God's judgment had come. Their enemy had now prevailed and boasted in their victories over them when this was written. They, without God's covering, seemed so helpless and hopeless. But because of the God of grace, all of that is about to change. They had broken their covenant with Him, but He would not break His covenant with them. If they would repent and return, the Lord would grant them mercy and forgiveness. Prayers would be answered and enemies would be vanquished. Blessings restored and God would be glorified. Amen. There's a lot of times Israel did stuff that they didn't deserve a second chance. But they got it. Can you say, man, they got it? You know why they got it? Because He delights in mercy. Praise God. I like what James Fawcett Brown, that old commentary that I can't hardly see without my good glasses anymore. But they commented on Micah 7 and said the universality of the corruption of the chosen remnant driven from every human confidence turns to God. Triumphs by faith over her enemies, is comforted by God's promises in answers to prayer, and by the confusion of her enemies, and so breaks forth into praises of God's character. You know why they said, look what God's done for us. After the way we did Him, but when we came back, He forgave us. He's merciful. He's mighty and He delivered us. But the reason He delivered us is because He's merciful. We're going to boast in His mercy. We're going to praise Him for that. Matthew Henry's commentary on our text is as follows. As it was their sin that brought them into bondage, so it was God's pardoning their sin that brought them out of it. The pardon of sin is the foundation for all other covenant mercies. Can you say amen? If our sins were not forgiven, we could not be saved. If our sins are not forgiven, we could not become and have a prayer answered. The Bible said, but we know that God heareth not sinners. Amen. If we can't be forgiven, we can't have an audience with Him. But if we can be forgiven, we can come into His throne room and receive grace and mercy to help. And here's the good news about Psalm 27. We'll hurry and close. You beat me again. I may never catch you. Can you say amen? Listen. In Psalm 3, that David said, Lord, the Lord is a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. How say ye unto my soul, there is no help for you in your God. There's always somebody going to tell you that trusting God is to no avail. Don't listen. Been trusting Him for all of these years. And I'll grant you, there was times I didn't know what He was up to. Can you say, man, there's times I really don't know what God is up to. There's times I try to pressure him and push him into giving me the answer so I can get out from under the pressure of what I'm going through. But I can look back on it and tell you that God knew exactly what he was doing. And he wasn't there when I wanted him, but he was right on time. Praise God. And his delay is not his denial. Praise God. Hallelujah. Make no mistake about it. I've had people tell me, amen, what's the use in trusting God? It doesn't seem like anything's changing. Well, listen, don't give in and don't give up. David said, I cried unto the Lord. And when David cried unto the Lord out of that psalm, he wasn't on a pinnacle of victory flexing his faith muscles. He was in a deep, dark valley. His son's trying to kill him. His countrymen have joined his son in rebellion. And he's running for his very life. And yet he prayed. Out of that place of discouragement, near despair, he says, but I won't turn loose of God. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're my glory. And you're more than just an anointed to kill a giant. You're the lifter of my head. That giant within is going to fall. And peace came over David. Because David knew God would listen even out of his weakness when he cried unto him. Isn't that good to know? I want to shout it from the housetops. You don't have to be standing on a mountaintop flexing that great faith to get God to hear you. He loves you, friend. How many's got any kids in here? How many can tell the difference in their whiny cry and their hurt cry? Amen. Their whiny cry doesn't bring mercy, does it? Makes you want to say, hush! I'll give you something to cry about. I don't know if you ever talk that way, but I mean, you know. It's like the lady on the way to church and the kids are going haywire in the back seat, you know. Peace, peace. And they're going nutzoid back there. Wonderful peace coming down from the... Don't make me come back there. From the Father above. Amen. That's the real world. Amen. The whiny cry doesn't bring mercy. But the legitimate hurt cry. And most mama's ears can tell the difference. When a child is really hurt, stung by a wasp or cut themselves, and you hear that cry, what do you do when you hear that cry? You run to them. Can you say, man, David knew that about God. He said, when I cry out of my hurt, my pain, my discouragement, my pressure, he comes and runs to me. And actually, he said, I love the Lord. I love this about his character. This is what makes me love him so much. Power and might is not what makes me love him. It's when he's willing to listen to me and use that power and might to help me that causes me to love him back so very much. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. I love the Lord because he heard my cry. I love the Lord because he heard my prayer. Listen, turning his ear always to me. I looked that up in the Hebrew. You know what it means? It means he bends down and listens when I pray. He's that concerned, compassionate, merciful, and good. David said, there's nowhere I can be. Amen. No circumstance I can be in, within or without, that God won't hear me if I'll just call by faith unto him. Hallelujah. The devil's business is to tell you that your faith is too weak. It's no need to pray. God is saying, call unto me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but I serve a good God. Who has a God like our God who delights in mercy? Hallelujah. God is so gracious and so good. And when he does forgive, he does it so thoroughly and completely that every blessing of the covenant is restored and every enemy is defeated. Can you say amen? Both Israel and her enemies will see the marvelous things and they will be astonished as God answers prayer in behalf of his people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When God turned the captivity of Zion, something so wonderful and powerful, such mercy upon the nation of Israel. When God turned the captivity of Zion, then was our mouth filled with song and our tongue with the laughter. We were as them that dream. You know, when you start getting prayers answered, even though you shouldn't be surprised, you will be amazed. It's an amazing thing when God comes through. And the church has been so impotent in the area of prayer. Amen. And prayers answered, that the sound of joy doesn't usually mark most gatherings on Sunday morning and most households on Monday. But it should, because God is a gracious God. Can you say amen? And I see that you're not amening as much, so it's about time. Listen to me tonight. Get into the Bible and find out about this God. Find out about His character of love and grace. Love Him back for loving you. Amen. Don't let the devil keep you from praying. Cry unto Him. Call unto Him. Amen. Appeal to His mercy. Amen. God's mercies are new every morning. Even if you're on... Everybody say my bad sin. Sometimes you're in trouble because of your own bad sin. But God loves you. Amen. And He wants to help you. The devil wants to destroy you out there. God wants to bring you back into the fold, secure you, and keep you safe. Praise God. Amen. You say, Brother Bimble, religion will put me in a box. No, religion will get you out of Satan's prison. Can you say amen? And if I'm in a box, then seal it with duct tape. Because it's nice in here. Safe and provided for. Praise God. If I draw my last breath before I wake up in the morning, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as long as I draw breath down here, He said, I'll never leave that boy and I'll never forsake him. Can you say amen? So leave me alone in my box. Thank you. Can you say amen? I don't want to be running free where the wolves are. Amen. Where the bear is. Where the serpents are waiting to hurt me. I want to be safe in my Father's fold. Can you say amen? Because I serve a good shepherd too. And I've been on the other side. How many were lost before you got saved? How many are glad you're saved tonight? Praise God. God is a gracious and a good God. Brother, would you come? Amen. Psalm 3 is laying up there, I believe. And if you want to sing this song or read it when you get home, it's written while David is running from his son. And God gives him back his kingdom. And God vanquishes his foes. And God exalts him as a great and mighty king of Israel, because God was a shield for him, and God was his glory, and God was the lifter of his head. Don't listen to the enemy who says, where's your God? Your God will come when he's ready in his time and in his way. Don't give up on him. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, by the way, my son's liver was damaged, and he was bleeding and spitting up blood and passing blood and couldn't keep food down. After 28 years of acute alcoholism, it had taken its toll. And the doctor told him that his liver was badly damaged, and the blood report from the test showed it wasn't functioning right to filter anything. And my son kind of got it in his mind. He said, Dad, if I live just 6 more months and I live it free from alcohol, and Jesus is my king, He said, I can't ask God for any more than that. But God is a merciful God. My son was not seeking healing for his liver. In fact, he told me, he said, I don't deserve it. I did this to myself. I did the damage. Amen. But guess what happened? When he went back to the doctor after God set him free from alcoholism, he got a report on his liver. And the doctor used the name God 3 times in the report. And he told him, he said, your liver has changed. Something has happened. The function is above normal. Your wife knows all about that. He wasn't even a candidate for a transplant, because they won't give an alcoholic a good liver to go out and kill. Can you say amen? Not even get on the list that thousands are on. Amen. But God took care of it because he's merciful. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he healed his liver. And the doctor told him, says, it's above normal. It's above what it's supposed to be. It's functioning better than a healthy liver. Wow. And my son said, God didn't have to do that for me. And I said, he didn't have to save us. He didn't have to go to the cross. Jesus didn't have to shed his blood. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he did. How about you? This is a good God. And that's why they praised him. And that's why we sing tonight. Will you stand to your feet? Brother, let's sing this song before we leave. I'm going to ask you while this song is playing, if there's anyone in this audience you feel the need to rededicate or come to Christ, would you come forward? We'd love to invite you and pray with you. But the Holy Spirit has to do that, and you have to respond. He loves you tonight.